Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2, your smart speakers, wherever you get your podcasts. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. What else can I tell you?
What's up, baby?
What's going on?
Good day yesterday. Filmed a movie for Disney here on the South Street Seaport, which is really cool, called Dunk. Buckets actually will coming out soon. And last night went to the Nets Heat game last night. Sat courtside and watched the Heat just dismantle the Brooklyn Nets.
Hold on, rewind. You were in a movie yesterday?
Yeah, we did a little shooting down here. Kendrick Perkins, Kimberly A. Martin participated. It was fun. It was cool.
That's what I'm saying. Where can we find it? Who's directing it? Who's
we'll announce that soon. Coming out soon. Can't give away too many details.
Well, I'm trying to, pump it up a little bit. That's all.
But it's a tease. He ain't going to give you all the information.
Well, all right. But,
just know it's called buckets because Key and I get people so buckets. Yeah.
Because it was at my knees before. So Paulie adjusted it for me and put it up a little high. But it's better than where it was.
It's really high, though, Max.
Yeah. What's going on with you, Key?
Oh, nothing, man. Just getting ready to do sports for about 4 hours and then relax my brain.
NFL Live today?
No. We're going to take a day off from NFL Live and we're going to just relax. It's a relaxing day.
Ask though, Jay, something. There's some different energy about you. Yeah. A little something going on.
Oh, no. I'm just listening to you guys banter back and forth and Yates chiming in, and I'm listening to y'all talk about what's wrong with the Lakers and the Nets and the great basketball mind of Jason Williams. And, that's all. I'm just
Jason
listening.
This morning. Yeah. I like that. I thought he would refer to me as JD, but I'm Jason now. Or Jay. It changes depending upon Key's mood.
Just listening to you basketball savants, that's all.
Basketball savants.
When did you stop playing ball?
Stop
playing basketball.
Freshman year of college.
How would you describe your game is the more important question here.
I would say I was a mid-level basketball player, not a Power 5 basketball player.
Okay.
I enjoy playing the game. I would not play it for free. even though James Harden says he will play for free.
Well,
I will not play anything for free. And I was a football player, and I would not play it for free. But anyway, I did not have a shot. I had everything else, but I could not shoot the ball. That's how I would
Those hands, though. Those hands and those feet.
I can slide and move. It was going to be a real problem. It was going to be a real problem.
Somebody's going to try to go through you, and they can't go through
you. I could jump, go to the cup. I could do all that. I just couldn't shoot. I have a little bit of a Westbrook problem,
So at the moment, so do the Lakers.
That's a turnover problem. Yeah, it's a turnover problem.
No,
I wasn't
a turnover machine. I could see the floor pretty good. I could see
the floor. I wouldn't put the ball in your hands. Like, you wouldn't be my primary ball handler.
Back then, basketball was more of a slow tempo game. It wasn't a speedy little basketball point guards. Guys, the point guards was about 6'4", typically, 6'3". Those were the points. And everything was Princeton ball. It was easy to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard.
Yeah.
Nowadays, or even when you was coming up, it was,
Kyrie
Irving.
It was a little bit more, more floor space. And it was like I played similar to the way D. Rose played, but I could shoot the ball deeper. So it was like that style of guard started to come into the league around then. Like floor spacing, what you see with Steph to a degree, but a lot more threes and volumes and floor spacing.
High pick and roll, but with the ball sticking with the point guard, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, ideally it doesn't, but usually it does.
Yeah, they would have told me to take Jay.
I would have loved that matchup.
They would have said, get him. They didn't get Jay.
Because Key couldn't guard me.
Very few could guard you.
I'm not even talking about that.
That's all.
Key's a great defensive player, but people don't understand. It's like when you I got Steph tonight. You're never really guarding Steph because Steph's going to have you in so many pick and rolls,
right,
man.
Right.
Like the big is guarding me.
Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call in line 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, so we got Packers-Cardinals tonight, Thursday night football. Learned yesterday from Adam Schefter that J.J. Watt could be lost for the season for a shoulder due to a shoulder injury. Remember, he never used to miss a game. He won Defensive Player of the Year every year. And then all of a sudden he gets surgery every year.
Shocking.
Why is your tone like that?
Shocking. What? It's the reality of it.
It feels like you drink from a cup of
It's shocking.
Hate juice it's about shocking. The Cardinals all the time.
No, it's not a hate. It's shocking. It's shocking that J.J. has not played a full season since when, Jay Williams?
It's been a
while. Could you tell me?
No, it's right. It's been
a
while.
So it's shocking.
17, 16? I mean, it's
like come on, man. All I'm saying is the truth. That's not no hate. He hasn't played a full season. When they signed him, the first thing people were saying, can he stay healthy? That's all we were saying. Can he stay healthy?
The answer is no.
No. Well, that's all off, I said. It's shocking.
Well, first off, welcome back to the show.
I was never gone.
I know, but welcome back. I like
so
this
early
energy.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not energy. It's just I just said something, and you tried to give me a rebuttal with a being with a little smart tone, and I had to check you
up. I had
up.
To wake you
that's
up.
All.
I just had to wake you up.
So, but for real, when you look at this game, which should be a kind of barometer game, where these – NFC conference, you know, powerhouse teams right now. It's short rest.
We lost some luster.
Luster on the Packers side. Rodgers doesn't have his receivers. And then yesterday, I don't know where it is now with DeAndre Hopkins. Last I checked, it's still not, but it was questionable.
Chandler Jones is activated. He's back.
Chandler Jones back, but now J.J. Watt out. When you shake it all out, what do you expect from the game tonight, Key?
Man, if you ask me this Monday or so like that, and then I'd have been like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good game. But then now you like, you already mentioned there's no Lazard, there's no Adams, boom. That on that side of the ball, it's like, okay, what is Aaron Rodgers going to do? Now all of a sudden J.J. Watt is gone, which creates some problems for Arizona on the defensive side of the ball, especially in a run game. And Green Bay can run the ball effective enough because Arizona's defense has been playing extremely well. So you try to balance it out. I still think that Aaron Rodgers could have an amazing game. I still think he can still deliver the ball. There's Aaron Jones in the backfield. The problem that you have, though, is what's going to happen when they really when he really has to find a go-to guy. I mean, is it the tight end? Is it screen passes with Aaron Jones? Is he going to try to push the ball down the field with Randall Cobb or Amari Rodgers? Like, what is it that he's going to do? But you always got an opportunity because when you have a great quarterback, he makes everybody else play better. And Arizona can't walk into this game sleepwalking and saying to themselves, we got this because we have a high-octane offense and we haven't lost anybody on the offensive side of the ball for us against a subpar defense. In fact, you're not even talking about the defensive coordinator and Joe Barry potentially missing the game. Now, he could test back in and do all the little tests, you know, the things that you have to do to, from a protocol standpoint. But as of right now, he's not even there coaching their defense.
We've seen when coaches have missed, like the Saints coaching staff got hit with COVID. They missed. Not the same team. Not the same team at all. That's why when Carolina, right, who beat them early in the season.
Yeah, Carolina.
Yeah, and it was like, and it's like, yeah, but all right, they don't have the whole coaching staff there on the offensive side of the ball.
But this is important because it's the defensive coordinator who calls the defense, and they're getting used to the way he's calling the defense. So if Joe Barry is removed from the lineup right now, then who's gonna do that? It's a different voice now.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Cliff Kingsbury missed earlier this year. Arizona won. A year ago, Kevin Stefanski missed. Cleveland won. So – you know, coaches have missed and they won. You know, New Orleans Saints, that was a different story.
Much more on this game coming up because there's a lot. I mean, one bye per conference, two teams with really good records. The last undefeated team, Arizona, they're playing at home. A lot of pressure on them to win. Packers with all the missing pieces that Key just went over. Coming up next, one team's already saying they're not going to trade for Deshaun Watson. We'll tell you who that is and why they won't. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Carolina Panthers not going to pursue Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson with the NFL trade deadline approaching on Tuesday. League source confirmed this to ESPN yesterday. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Panthers head coach Matt Rhule addressing the decision to not trade for Deshaun Watson.
For me right now, I'm focused on this week and trying to beat Atlanta and feel really good about Sam. Obviously, it wasn't a great game this past game. I think at the end of the day, when Sam goes back and watches himself, or our whole team goes back and watches himself against the New Orleans Saints, we see, you know, exactly what he is and was and can be, and we just got to get him back to that spot. So, obviously, as you know, I can't comment on any other player, but, I'm focused on Sam and trying to get him back to the level he was playing at, and I think that has to be everyone's focus on the O-line, receiver, everyone.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Key. Why are the Panthers not looking to trade for Deshaun Watson?
But see, I didn't hear where he said he wasn't looking. He can't comment on other players. And he said his concentration is focused on this week. He's not focused in on Deshaun Watson publicly. So it's hard for me to understand where did we come up with this from a public perspective, that they will not trade for Deshaun Watson.
That's interesting. In other words,
like where did
he's
it come
not
from?
Allowed to comment on it, but so we in the media ask the question, he doesn't comment on it, we take the no comment as a no,
yes.
And then we have now created a story the next day.
That's hard for me to process, because I never heard Deshaun's name. I never heard that we're not looking at another quarterback. I never heard any of that. All I heard was my focus is on trying to get Sam better this week. The trade deadline is next week. I believe November 2nd to be correct. We have a game on Sunday. So I don't know. I mean, that's where my mind is at. Now, are you asking me, are they going to trade for him? I don't know.
No, I was asking about the way we have framed this in the media is that they said, no, we are not doing that. And you're saying they're not allowed to comment
on it. So how can we come to that conclusion?
Interesting, Jay.
You can't. I'm with you. There was a fascinating article.
I hate to be a lawyer.
There was an interesting article in The Athletic about this where they polled a whole bunch of fans from the Carolina Panthers. And the majority of fans said that they felt like there was a change needed, but they didn't feel like Deshaun Watson was a change that they wanted.
Mm.
And I find that extremely fascinating from the fan perspective, because you sit up here and we live in a world that you're innocent until proven guilty. But now with 20 plus accusations,
you can't ask people to turn their brains off.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that doesn't
mean that they're not going to make a trade. I agree with what Key's saying, but that does heavily influence what comes with a trade like that.
You're innocent, not in the court of public opinion, but legally you're innocent. You know, until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But it is also reasonable for reasonable people to start to draw some conclusions, or at least lean in a certain direction, if they hear similar things are being said by 22 separate women. and that's going to affect the way people think inevitably.
Well, it's not great, right? I mean, obviously, there's decisions that's got to be made, and it's not great to bring somebody into your building that have all this going on swirling around them. There's no question about it. But again, I didn't hear where Matt Rhule said that they are not pursuing another quarterback. I don't even want to say a name, just another quarterback.
I do want to bring up the point, though, that when David Tepper bought the team, right, from Jerry Richardson, who had scandal in the organization from misconduct, and he said he wanted to create a healthy environment for a team, you start thinking about things that your owner has said before, and then if you see this contradicting behavior, it doesn't.
I like what Tepper's done so far. I like the fact that he looked at what he had and he said, I got a good coach, I got a good quarterback. I don't think it's going to get me there. He had the guts to say, I'm going to tear it all down and try to
Agreed.
Be better.
Agreed.
Now, hey, can we put back up on ESPN2 right now? Can we put the stat where you see Sam Darnold with McCaffrey, Sam Darnold without McCaffrey? Look at the difference here. 3-0 with him, 0-4 without him. He's completing almost 70%, 68% of his passes with him, under 60, 56% without him. 8.3 yards per attempt with McCaffrey, 5.6 without him, and his QBR is 65 with him, which is good, 27 without him, which is you don't have a job starting in the NFL.
That's the reality of having a Christian McCaffrey. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks' numbers would go up with Christian McCaffrey in the lineup. I mean, that's the reality of it.
But he turned him from a good quarterback to a bad quarterback.
Yeah, but think about what happened to Teddy Bridgewater last year. Teddy Bridgewater was playing without Christian McCaffrey for a very long time and still was grinding away, had him close, but if he would have had that guy on the field for the 16 weeks, who knows where the Panthers would have been throughout the season.
But there are, like we've talked in the past about, call it baskets or buckets of quarterbacks, right? Bridgewater and Darnold, you may disagree in terms of talent, but we've talked about Case Keenum and Baker, and I said Kirk Cousins and this one and that one. They're all in the same bucket, meaning none of these dudes are Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so those kind of quarterbacks are more reliant on having extraordinary weapons with them, right? Christian McCaffrey, like if you took him away, if you gave him to Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers would kill the game. Without McCaffrey, Rodgers is still going to kill it. But it seems to me Darnold is highly reliant on that.
Yeah, but Rodgers has Aaron Jones, who is a very, very good football player. But if he didn't have Aaron Jones, he still has great receivers on the perimeter, a decent tight end.
Yeah, no one could do it by himself.
And he's been doing it for a very, very long time. Christian McCaffrey is important to the success of Sam Darnold. The numbers said it right there. You just read it, Max, and it is what it is. That now, maybe Christian McCaffrey comes back at some point in time, Sam turns it around. And if not, then maybe they look to do something different.
That's like Saquon Barkley being very important to Daniel Jones. I mean,
Jared Goff without Todd Gurley went from, is he an MVP? No, he's not. Right? Like with Todd Gurley, he looked totally different.
But he's a different option.
But that's not,
table,
but
man.
There's nothing, but there's, I guess there's nothing wrong with that because everybody always has somebody that they rely on because again, they can't do it by themselves. You know, you think about the great Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't do much at the end, other than the Super Bowl 3 years ago, but much at the end in New
got
England.
Pounced in the first round of the playoffs.
Because he didn't have anything.
But guys like that will get to the play. They'll still
but
be
if
good.
But if I would have dropped Christian McCaffrey on the New England team 2 years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
They don't tell it what would have happened.
Okay. So,
but you're just saying that they're obviously you're saying there are levels to it because still with Aaron Rodgers. Like we talked about, even with Lazard and Devontae Adams out, like the line went from 3.5 to 6, but it's still holding at less than a touchdown.
And McCaffrey, Todd Gurley back then, we're talking about some quarterbacks may need a special kind of weapon, right? Do you think, Jay, Darnold turns this around without McCaffrey this year?
I think he is a marginal quarterback. I don't know. I think without his weapons, I don't think we'll see his full potential.
He just called him a marginal quarterback. Key, I got
to
say,
Let me recalibrate that to me.
All right.
Because marginal is still an exceptional quarterback because obviously he's in the NFL.
As a starter, you mean? As a starting NFL quarterback.
Like he's in that mid-tier of quarterbacks for me in the NFL, which I guess would translate to not phenomenal like Patrick Mahomes, but like in that mid-pack.
Mm-hmm. Fair? He is a starting quarterback with the circumstances and the situation perfect.
Mm, right.
That's what he is.
Right.
He's a starting
quarterback. A lot of guys fit into that category.
There's a lot of people that can fit into that category.
It's kind of like, and he's the basketball terminology for this, kind of like a little bit like Kyle Lowry, right? Kyle Lowry without weapons around him, you're like, all right, Kyle Lowry, you're still good. But Kyle Lowry with weapons around him?
I think Kyle Lowry is a better point guard than
Sam Darnold as a quarterback. Fair.
I think he's a better point.
That's fair.
We could think of other analogies.
Yeah, I was trying to give a basketball one. Yeah. Didn't really work.
Still, the numbers from McCaffrey are
it's okay, man.
I'm just trying to squeeze some basketball on this show.
Reggie Jackson.
It's okay to weave it in. It's good.
I'm trying to.
Coming up on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, why two injuries to quarterbacks could have very different kinds of impacts, I guess you'd say, on their teams this week.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN, ESPN 2, brought to you by Barbasol. Barbasol Shaving Cream is available in five fantastic flavors.
Feel me.
Customize your close shave, whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin. There's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol. So Browns quarterback.
I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Sorry.
You want to talk Tupac or Baker Mayfield? Which one which should we get into?
Drastic differences.
Yeah, we don't want to talk Tupac. Let's go.
Tupac. Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield said it's absolutely possible that he could return Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers after missing Cleveland's last game with a left shoulder surgery. Here is Baker with more on his injury.
You go out there, you're scared, you're timid. That's how you really get hurt, seriously. And so I can't do that, you know. So like I said, trying to get the strength back and be able to go as close to 100% as possible. And you can do certain things to repair the stuff inside the rotator cuff and strengthen it up. You know, if you examine a lot of people's shoulders, you'd see a lot of partial tears in those labrums. So you can do things to, help with that.
See,
I said surgery, I meant injury. Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, you know how I am, man. I'm like, get off my line guy right now, right? Like, why are you telling people about your injury? Like, I don't even need to talk to the media right now. I know I have an obligation to speak to the media at times, but I'm not even I'm not going to my locker. I am going to the training room, and I am getting my rehab. And when they ask us out the locker room, I'm coming back in. And then I will deal with the consequences after that, but I'm not talking to the media about my injury.
Okay, go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
I was like, because you are built differently, Key.
Talking to y'all about my injury.
Because there ain't nothing for you to prove where it feels like now I hear Baker saying there's something that he wants to prove, right? Like, and obviously money is on the line for him because we had Mike Tannenbaum on the other day saying that Case Keenum is stealing money. So when you're in that situation, you're trying to explain where you are mentally to tell people that I am here to compete. I want you to know I am here. I am here. I am here.
Look at Case Keenum.
You know what I mean, Key?
Look at Case Keenum's best year next to Baker Mayfield's. In 2017, he was second in the league in QBR behind only Tom Brady.
Well, it's the season. Yeah,
by the way,
it's 2017.
It's the same. Kevin Stefanski.
I get exactly what Max is saying. Max has been reading my notes for the last couple of days.
Look at the numbers.
It's the same exact thing. You cannot argue with the success that he's had under Kevin Stefanski. He's 1-0 as a starter. We saw his record at 11-5 when Kevin Stefanski in 2017. I understand he's long years away, but it's still the same thing. He feels comfortable with him at the quarterback spot. That's why he's the backup there and not somebody else.
So both of you guys feel comfortable to keep rocking with Case Keenum?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Is that what you're telling me?
I believe that Case Keenum, given everything that Baker, if you give Case Keenum the same stuff that Baker Mayfield is exposed to, good receivers that's healthy, nice running game that's healthy, a tight end that's legit, tackles and everything is perfect, the defense is playing right. I don't see a problem.
I would say, like Case Keenum, but we're referring back to 5 years ago, like that was last year.
I'm referring back to a guy that was 21 of 33, 199 yards,
a touchdown, D'Ernest Johnson, who was a fisherman. Had a balling out game.
No, wait.
There are a lot of things that went right.
Jay,
I'm not saying that he's not stable.
No, what I'm saying is this: he's going to pass the torch to him. But here's the evidence, okay? There's no perfect experiment. They're more or less the same as what we're saying. Yeah, Baker's a little more, but they're more or less the same in the sense, it's the same thing. Stefanski's offense. He was the quarterback's coach. Quarterback's coach. Okay. Stefanski, his influence on the offense with these guys at quarterback. In fact, the guy who's had the better season is Case Keenum, and he did it with a lesser offense. Nevertheless, I'm not saying Case Keenum's as good as Baker Mayfield. I'm saying he's in the same bucket, more or less.
When you go to a restaurant, Jay, and they tell you they're out of sourdough bread, and they say all we have is white bread, do you say you don't want it? No, you say give me the white bread. That's the same thing.
It's the same damn thing.
It's a piece of bread.
Yeah,
one is sourdough. One is just plain white bread.
It's not a difference.
Plain white bread. He's the Wonder Bread.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that's what it is.
It's not a difference of kind. It's a difference of degree.
Yes.
You know, a different kind of quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson,
yes.
Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, maybe. That's a different kind of quarterback. These are different degrees of the same kind of quarterback. But I want to get back to...
Let me ask you this, though. Hold on before you get back to it. If I decided, put it this way. If I said to you last week that Baker Mayfield was 21-33, 200 yards, a touchdown, and they won... What would you say? Oh yeah, he did his job.
Yeah, it was serviceable.
So serviceable. What's wrong with Case Keenum?
I just think that the upside for Baker is drastically different.
It is drastically different.
I think Baker Mayfield has a way higher ceiling.
They've both won a playoff game in their career.
That's fine. You're comparing
Case Keenum's best year.
Did you see what Baker Mayfield did last year towards the end of the year?
He played at an elite level. I've seen it. Case Keenum's best year is better than Baker.
No, we're going to argue.
This is weird that you guys are double teaming.
Yeah, we're going to double
team
because you're saying stuff that makes zero sense, and we're trying to knock you in the head to get you to understand that Baker Mayfield is a quality quarterback.
Look at the numbers.
But there's no difference. A guy completed 68% versus 63. Yes, it was 2017. A guy was 11-3 as a starter. Another guy was 11-4. Yes, it was 2017. But here's the common denominator. Is that the coach was coached them both.
I get those two stat lines.
Baker's 1 year with Stefanski, full year, and Case Keenum's more or less full year with Stefanski are two stat lines in the career of the same guy.
That's fine.
That's 1 year. That's another year, the same guy.
Make the numbers work. Tell me this. Last year towards the end of the season.
They both won a playoff game.
You've made mention of that three times. Both of them didn't win a playoff game last year.
No, but in that season, yeah.
Yeah, but he said last year. Yeah.
So give me this argument. Last year, towards the end of the year, what Baker Mayfield did you see?
He played well.
Okay, so that's
all we're saying is if he keeps winning on this track, we'll be okay with it. That's all we're saying.
Baker Mayfield was...
It sounds to me like you guys are insinuating if Case Keenum is serviceable and Baker's come back, we're cool with Case Keenum. Like, we'll take Case Keenum over Baker Mayfield.
So we get off of this and we move on. Here's what I'm going to say, Jay. If Baker Mayfield is 100% healthy, I'm starting Baker Mayfield. If Baker Mayfield is not 100% healthy, I'm okay with Case Keenum.
I'm cool with that.
As long as Case Keenum keeps winning.
I'll give you another. I'll give you something else. If it's Baker Mayfield for $200 million or Case Keenum
See,
for
that's
18.
That's where he was going, Keith. I knew that's where he was going. Case that's why Keenum, I wanted to fight back on.
Or Case Keenum for 18, and that leaves me $192 million to spend on the rest of the team, and I have guys I need to sign coming up.
What is Case Keenum doing, though, to get to 18?
He got a three-year, $6 million
year
contract.
What is he doing? Like, to stay there, are you saying play the rest of the games this season? Because I can't
say what I'm saying is Baker Mayfield
based on last week.
Right. What I'm saying is when it comes to time to talk contract with Baker Mayfield, the idea that Case Keenum is costing him money to me is real. Because if Baker's talking about I need a $200 million contract.
The only way I could do that.
Thank you, Keith.
Only way I could do that is if Baker Mayfield doesn't get back on the field this year.
Thank you.
For whatever weird reason.
Yep. Thank you,
in case
Lord.
Keenum continues to roll.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can do it. I can't do it.
That was the path he was going down.
Okay. I can't do that.
You and I were talking about something different. I knew he was going down that path.
Who's better, Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield?
Those two guys are – Kirk Cousins is probably slightly better.
Okay. Was it the right thing to do or a mistake for the Vikings to give all that money to Kirk Cousins instead of just keeping Case Keenum?
At that time, it probably was a mistake in my eyes to sign Kirk Cousins instead of Case Keenum.
I agree.
Although Case Keenum hasn't been the same since 2017
as a full-time starter.
He hasn't had Stefanski.
But hold on. As a full-time starter, and now he's back to Kevin Stefanski, and he's given us a little bit of something.
I see what you're saying. Okay. So, Jay, let's just clarify. You're saying you need to see more from Keenum with Stefanski make. But what do you think? 17 was a mirage?
No, it's not that. Okay.
It's just a long time ago.
Well, that's true.
You're not. It's 3 years. You're not.
It's 2022 coming up this year. 18, that's 5 years.
He's playing right now. So,
fair, yeah.
Okay, 3 years.
So what I'm saying, though, is I'm not ready to move on for Baker Mayfield for Case Keenum unless Mayfield can't play the rest of the year and Case Keenum takes us where we were going to go with Baker Mayfield.
I agree with that. Now, at the end, we'll sit down and caucus
and say, well, do we want to give Case Keenum $45 million over the next 3 years, or do we want to give this dude $250 million over the next five?
And you know when you do that, the $250 million over five, when you're like, even if he's marginally better, it's called marginal utility in economics.
He pointed right at me when he said that.
That little marginal difference is the difference between
utility.
Yes.
Marginal utility.
We're gonna look that one up.
Hustle backwards, marginal utility. Jay is a student of life. The point is that even if it's marginal, it's the difference between winning a Super Bowl and not. And what I'm saying is I don't think the difference between Baker and Case Keenum, if Case Keenum is the Case Keenum we saw in 17, I don't think Baker, even if he's a little better than that to the eyes, that's the difference between winning the Super Bowl. I think with quarterbacks of this level, the difference is who gets hot late at the right time. You know, they're going to do more or less the same thing in the regular season. And how you do in the playoffs depends on who gets a little hot then.
You steal everything I say now. You're trying to spin it. I've been saying that forever.
Me too.
No, you haven't.
Yes,
you've
I
been
have.
On First Take, man. You ain't been saying that.
Forever. Before
you
I was on
First Take. No.
I was on TV when you
it's
were
like
still.
Second, third take because he's taking your takes.
I was on TV talking about this stuff when you were still catching footballs. All right. Now listen.
I don't even remember that show. Whatever show that was.
Around the Horn?
Around the Horn.
Yeah.
The originator of Around the
That's
Horn.
That's right.
I wasn't. Sorry. NFL Primetime, NFL Countdown, CBS Morning.
I was a baby. I think I was like seven.
Sorry. Sports Center.
You want to start throwing up TV show resumes?
I was born yet. I don't think I was born yet.
Yeah.
So long ago.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. On ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. We are asking you on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, what NBA player does your team's quarterback remind you of and why?
I like this.
I came up with one for
Sam Darnold. Yeah.
If you go back 5 years, Jeff Teague.
I like that one because he had Atlanta in the playoff hunt. You thought he was going to be something different.
Now it's hard
for anybody to even tell you what team Jeff Teague plays for.
Yeah, and Milwaukee right now.
Yes.
But Teague was a starting point guard in the league, the way, you know, in the right situation, the way Sam Darnold's a starting point guard.
My brain, it's like, where is he now?
Starting.
Where are they now?
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let's switch gears to Green Bay, guys. Jen Ladd of ESPN Milwaukee joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward, Goodyear more driven. Jen, are you there? Hey, Jen, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, thanks for rattling off your LinkedIn profiles for me. I had forgotten all of the incredible things that all y'all have done.
That wasn't us. That was Max telling us all his
Hold
great
on.
TV
yeah,
shows.
This dude just listed everything he was ever on and tried to blame it on me.
No, I said I watched that stuff. I was watching that stuff.
All right, Jen, I see you coming and spitting that hot fire.
Jen,
I see it.
No doubt. Jen, what NBA player would you compare Aaron Rodgers to, since we're on the subject?
Oh, man, you guys put me on the spot here. I hadn't thought about that at all.
Why would you? Nice going, Pat, our producer today. Sorry, Jen.
Give me a minute. Come back to me. I'll think about it as we're talking here, and we'll come back around to it. How's that sound?
You guys want to get into football?
Yeah, hey, so Devontae Adams, obviously, and Alan Lazard are not with the Packers. In fact, I don't believe they even made the trip. They would not let them on the plane. What can we expect, though, from the Packers offense in tonight's game without those two bread and butter guys for Aaron Rodgers?
Man, you guys have watched Aaron Rodgers for as long as I have. Doesn't this feel like one of those games that he is just going to be so hyped for? He hears all the noise. You know, he pretends he doesn't follow the social media conversations and the radio conversations, but he hears everybody already ruling out the Green Bay Packers, saying there's no way that this team, down some of their offensive weapons, injured on the defensive side of the ball, can go in to Arizona and beat the undefeated Cardinals. And don't you think that he is just licking his chops at the opportunity to remind people that he hasn't lost a step, that he can still lead this team to victory? I mean, I do think, obviously, it makes a difference not having your biggest offensive weapon in Devontae Adams out there. But Aaron Rodgers can thread the needle. He can throw into tight windows. He can make guys who are average Joes look like future Hall of Famers. So, again, I'm not saying they're going to win this game, but please do not rule out Aaron Rodgers in a game like this. I think this is the type of stuff he salivates at, and he's absolutely looking forward to the opportunity to remind everybody he still is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Talking to Jen Ladd at ESPN Milwaukee, co-host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 7 to 9 a.m. Central, right after us on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Jen, Joe Barry is not going to be there, the defensive coordinator for the Packers. How much of a loss is this for this team?
I mean, it's a loss because obviously you want your guy up there for consistency for your defense, but it's probably a bigger loss that they're still missing a guy like Jair Alexander out there, right? And I do think that people have to be mindful of the fact that this is a very good Cardinals offense, right? So I think that's going to be the thing. They're also scoring guys like upwards of 30 points per game. Packers haven't been able to put those kind of numbers up. This isn't your dominant, convincing offense by the Green Bay Packers that puts up 35 points per game. We acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers, probably more than any other quarterback last year, benefited from not having fans in the stands, right? He's exceptional when there's noise in a hostile environment. He just elevates his game when he has nobody, if he can hear everything and his guys can hear all of his calls and whatnot. So I do think that that's going to play a role in the game. Obviously the injuries and whatnot, they're going to have to score points. They're going to have to, and the defense is going to have to stop Arizona, who, like I said, has been on a decent clip here, one of the top scoring offenses in the league. You know, we talk about some of the guys on the offensive side of the ball who are going to have to step up. I know that I have Bobby Tonyan in my fantasy league. I was hoping that he would, you know, be a heavy contributor this year. Hasn't really happened. He's been doing a lot of blocking to help with that offensive line that's been banged up as well. Could this be a game where he steps out? We, of course, went and checked to see what the likelihood of that is. Arizona's been fantastic against defending the tight end this year. In fact, number one in the league versus that position. So you start to look at all of these things stacking up, and it's like Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be incredibly creative and figure out a way to put points on the board in order to win this game.
Jen Ladd, ESPN Milwaukee, co-host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Yeah.
It's like, how many names do you need, right? He's been out with a hamstring injury. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, I think it's still, we'll find out today. similar to the names that we're going to hear as far as guys they're pulling up from the practice squad as well. So you will see a lot of Packers fans refreshing and refreshing and refreshing their Twitter feed today, trying to see if he, in fact, will be back out there. Because he has been a fantastic deep threat for Aaron Rodgers. And when he isn't there, it is harder for him to stretch the field. When Devontae isn't there, it's harder for him to stretch the field as well. So obviously that'll be a huge factor in this matchup as well.
All right, Jim, we got about a minute left here, but I do want to ask you, I heard something the other day and it made me think about, you know, how can the Packers show Aaron Rodgers that they are committed to him moving forward? What would your thoughts be on them actually trading Jordan Love before the trade deadline to show Aaron Rodgers, even though it's risky, that like, hey, we hear you, we own it, we made a mistake, this is your team moving forward. What would your thoughts be about something like that?
I think, Jay, there are other ways to convince Aaron Rodgers that you're all in. I mean, remember, they pushed out $51 million of cap charges to keep the core in place, right? And people still were saying, oh, the Packers aren't doing enough to help Aaron Rodgers. Then they sign a few guys here, a Whitney Merciless here, and all of a sudden people are like, well, maybe Brian Gutekunst is doing things to keep Aaron Rodgers around. I think Rodgers has gone on the record and said he has seen improvements in people in the front office. He hasn't specifically said Brian Gutekunst, but we can kind of put two and two together there. The two have been seen talking at times on the field at practice. I think that's going to be more crucial if you're trying to keep Aaron Rodgers than trading Jordan Love, which, by the way, Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love have a great relationship. Aaron Rodgers really likes the kid, thinks he's a hard worker. You know, Jordan obviously saddles right up to Aaron, wants to learn as much as he can from him, and why wouldn't you when you have a future Hall of Famer sitting next to you? But I think this is going to be more about how do they manage the cap going forward, and what does an extension for Aaron Rodgers even look like? I mean, you'd have to add millions and millions of dollars to the deal that he already has in order to convince him that he's a part of your future. Because his biggest issue, guys, was that he didn't want to be a lame duck quarterback. And so it'll be fascinating to see how they can make the money work for Aaron Rodgers going forward. But I think they're doing all of the right things to show him that they're committed to him and that they want him to be under center.
That is Jen Latta, ESPN Milwaukee. Appreciate it, Jen. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, Jen.
Wait, you didn't give us I wanted our comp.
Oh, yeah, the comp.
Who's your Aaron Rodgers comp?
We got
comp Aaron Rodgers, basketball player. I mean, guys, so we're talking about a guy who is obviously a Hall of
Famer.
Jen, stop stalling.
After
give me one.
On Keyshawn, Jay Willen.
LeBron James. LeBron James.
All right.
Who'd she give?
LeBron James.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Keyshawn, Jay Willen, Max. Stay right there.
Keyshawn, Jay Willen, Max, the podcast.